Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by BackSportsPage.com. This is Mo. I'm coming to you live with my co-host T, and of course, Khan. All right. Most leagues we made to the fantasy semifinals. Hopefully, if you're still listening, I'm sure you were lucky enough to make it this far. So, obviously, just like last week, playoff strategy changes, roster construction changes. That's, you know, we don't even have to look over last week's games. We're just going to preview this week's matchups. If that's all you care about, most leagues only have 2 weeks left. This potentially being the most important, since you will place, most likely place in the money if you make it to the final game. So let's get started. As you have, we'll go over this upcoming week's matchup, starting with tonight's game, Arizona at St. Louis. Again, just like last week, we only have an hour or so. Really, let's try to go quick, and this games like this can only help since there's really not much to talk about. Arizona, St. Louis, besides the defenses who are both top five options going against a horrible offense, and both with the way that they also with the way they've been playing, really you don't feel confident about anyone except for Trey Mason. Even then, he's a lower end running back too, at best.
If you're desperate, I wouldn't mind starting Jared Cook. I think he torched Arizona in their first meeting.
Yeah, and the tight end's always.
If you're in a 12-team league, I can see Jared Cook being a top 12 option this.
If you're in a bind, I mean, I don't think there's any. It's not really a situation where any tight end got hurt, as opposed to like running back, where you could see yourself having to start Trey Mason. But unless you've been streaming tight ends all year, or you have Delaney Walker or something
like that,
who's does nothing recently, which is mainly just because of how bad the offense has been. But yeah, Jared Cook, I guess he might go into, as a top 10 tight end. Just based on matchup and everything else. Well, I closed out, I think, here we go. We got Berg Atlanta. So, Julio Jones, let's say he's going to come down to a game-time decision. And that injury lasted a little longer than any Atlanta fan would have hoped. Had a huge game last week against Green Bay. So, it's kind of a huge blow to him and his owners. I mean, we said, besides what Andre Ellington, but that injury started 2 weeks ago. So there's really hasn't been many injuries to running back, besides maybe Eddie Lacy, we'll talk about in the next game. But wide receiver took a big blow. If Julio Jones ends up not playing, Andre Johnson is also going to be questionable this week. And, of course, Brandon Marshall out for the year. So tons of wide receivers go down.
Reggie Wayne as well.
Yeah, he's been practicing. I don't understand. I mean, they said he had a torn tricep. Either way. So, what does this do? I mean, if Julio Jones doesn't play, Roddy White is probably a wide receiver, too. He can get the majority of the targets, and you got to move Harry Douglas. I'd put him as a top 30 receiver against the Pittsburgh secondary. It struggled mightily. And even though you obviously have to monitor the situation for Julio Jones, but also because Harry Douglas was also limited today in practice. So, if he doesn't play, then, I mean, you're not – you can't start Devin Hester in the fantasy playoffs, so don't even worry about it. But I think that just helps Roddy White even more. But Roddy White also injured, and they're just completely beat up as a team. I'm trying to think of, you know, replacement options. We'll go over it as we go over those teams as well. But Dante Moncrief, definitely a guy you could pick up. Marquise Wilson, who's going to be the second wide receiver in Chicago for the remainder of the season.
Yeah,
which is,
I mean, I don't really like him.
No, I mean, we haven't seen him play much, and it's going to be a tough start. But if you had Brandon Marshall, I mean, there's probably not many other options out there. I mean, maybe Charles Johnson, if he's still available, which I'm sure he's usually taken in most leagues, but definitely a possibility. Or even from the same game, Martavis Bryant against a bad defense, Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's not a terrible option. I mean, not much to say for Pittsburgh. and you're pretty much starting your studs. Le'Veon Bell has been, it's been on fire for the past few weeks. So. Nothing else there. Unless you have something to add. Steven Jackson's actually, it's worth mentioning. You know, Pittsburgh.
You could run on Pittsburgh, definitely.
Yeah, and Steven Jackson, he's been a top 15 running back the past 5 weeks. That why. So you don't feel confident about it, but he's also a pretty safe play. Would you rather play Steven Jackson this week or Trey Mason tonight?
Steven Jackson.
Yeah, he's come a long way. I mean, Anton.
I think he has a better chance to score. I think he's going to get some more catches.
And the Antoine Smith injury definitely helps Steven Jackson along the way, but also a decent matchup here as opposed to Trey Mason with an extremely tough matchup. So, yeah, I'd still like Trey Mason a little bit better, but of course it's pretty close, which says how much Steven Jackson has jumped in the ranks since week one. He's pretty much droppable at that point. Here we got Green Bay, Buffalo. Now, this is someone I just mentioned earlier. Eddie Lacy, again, limited in practice today. So
they don't really like him in this matchup, anyway.
No, definitely. Buffalo's defense has been great for in real-life purposes and fantasy. And it's not like Eddie Lacy's been what we expected from him when he was drafted in the first round since the beginning of the year. So I just don't – obviously, you're starting him if you have him. Definitely a lower-end running back one, but this is just going to – I mean, you have to, if you own Eddie Lacy or anyone, even if you don't own Eddie Lacy, just to avoid having playing against him, James Starks need to be owned in every single league right now. It doesn't matter. There's definitely guys who are droppable on your roster who you're not going to use for the rest of the season. I don't feel great about starting James Starks, but like I said, more importantly, just so you prevent him from being started against you. And this offense is just rolling on all cylinders, and we saw James Starks he got the touchdown last week, even as the backup running back. So he'll be a running back too. I mean, if Eddie Lacy doesn't play, who would you rather start, James Starks or Steven Jackson?
James Starks, I don't.
I mean, there you go. It's a
better offense.
Right. So I think he's actually pretty solid play at this point of the season. And he's going to get all the goal line carries, you know. I guess they give it to Kuhn, but still, he's just, you know, he's going to get 15 touches at least. He's going to get all the carries. They really just don't trust anyone else over in Green Bay. So for Buffalo, really not much to it. Sammy Watkins has been struggling. If you had to start someone, it's a nice matchup here. So you're starting Sammy Watkins, but Robert Woods.
He had a pretty good game. I mean, Sammy Watkins had a pretty good game last week. Quietly, but he, you know, he hasn't looked healthy in recent weeks, but he actually looked pretty healthy last week, I think. I mean, I'll get his official numbers up, but I guess
I hear. Yeah, 7 receptions, 127 yards. Yeah, he did look good. Well, more importantly, 12 targets, but also.
Yeah.
Geez, I mean, I was going to say Robert Woods, but. He didn't look great either. Scott Chandler stealing 11 targets. And this guy, I didn't know he had 11 targets all season long. So, I'm not bad for him. Obviously, not starting him, but either way. I guess that's pretty much it. I mean, Fred Jackson, he said last week, the 10 catches. Nice matchup here for Green Bay. We saw
we have a decision to make in that one league.
Yeah, still, I mean, after seeing this and with a good matchup, in Green Bay, I mean, you would think you don't like the fact that, I mean, Green Bay's just been, they scored, what, I think it's like 14, I think it's even more than that, like 14 games in a row where they have a first quarter touchdown, so they're just putting teams behind right away, and it's forced them to also throw the ball. Which could be good, I mean, I guess considering that Fred Jackson had those 10 catches last week.
Yeah, Kyle Orr is not exactly,
Matt Ryan?
Lighting it up.
No.
You said Matt Ryan.
Not exactly. Well, Matt Ryan, who looked great against the Green Bay secondary last week when they went behind and were forced to throw the entire second half. So no.
We actually have a decision to make. We need to get Drake Bell into our lineups in that one league.
Yes, I'd still rather start Fred Jackson.
I'm thinking we don't start Brandon LaFell.
We'll talk about Drake Bell later on. It is a 4 o'clock game this week. This week, anyway.
Is it?
Yeah, Cincinnati, Cleveland. All right, so the situation's a little clear. Looks like Kroll is the running back you want to start for Cleveland. And what does it do? Does it hurt or help? Johnny Manziel is going to get his first start. So we talked about him a little bit last week. Against Cincinnati, decent matchup. Is he the top 20 guy? So startable
Manziel?
In two quarterback leagues?
Yeah, I think so.
It's just so hard. It's like Cons asked me earlier in the week, he has Ryan Tannehill, and he picked up Johnny Manziel. You know, Ryan Tannehill against New England defense, and would you, your semifinal week, would you start Johnny Manziel?
No, but like if I'm starting like Sean Hill or Derek Carr.
I don't think it's too far-fetched to start him over Ryan Tannehill. It's not like,
I think I'd still rather, like, all right, so let's get some rankings up, and I'll tell you exactly where I think he fits in.
Are you pulling up rankings? Are you
Yeah, can you give me a second?
Or, I mean, while we're at it, I mean, not much to say for Cincinnati, but we've been saying this for weeks. Jeremy Hill is above Gio Bernard right now.
That's not even close anymore.
For the running backs, and there's really not much else to it.
All right, ready?
Yeah, go.
So this is the ESPN consensus rankings. I'll start with They had Russell Wilson and Jay Cutler tie at 9. You're starting both of them over Johnny Manziel, correct?
Yeah, easy.
Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
Mark Sanchez.
Yes.
Tony Romo?
Yes.
Eli Manning?
Matchup, yeah.
Joe Flacco?
Who are they playing?
Jacksonville. I think I'd start Manziel.
I'll say I'm at least considering them there.
You don't think they're going to run the ball 50 times?
No, it's definitely possible, and that's one of the main reasons. Who's after Flacco? That's one of the main reasons I consider him.
Well, actually, Manziel.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. I mean, that makes sense. What number is he?
Flacco's 15.
All right, so Manziel's 16. I could see that. But yeah,
Tannehill's next. I think I would actually go Tannehill, Manziel, Flacco. That's just me.
You know what? It reminds me of.
But that, just listen. After Tannehill, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, Fitzpatrick, Dalton, Alex Smith, Kyle Orton. I mean, Manziel's clearly above all that.
Yeah, no, I'd rather.
So at the worst, I think he's 17.
This reminds me of what I did last.
Jesus, that's Kaepernick, like 22.
Against Seattle, right?
Yeah,
he's well. He's been so bad. Reminds me of what I did last week I guess Dante Moncrief not even making his first career start, but I started him thinking, his upside is so big. I mean, it just. You like the prospect of what he can potentially do. He just busted. I mean, he had 1 point. I could totally see Manziel doing this. And in a playoff matchup.
I can't just because I think of the rushing yards.
He can get hurt. Like, anything can happen. I mean, I'm sure at this point they just have him in there, and it's as bad as it gets, they're going to leave him in there. But,
that's the reason I think they waited so long. You can't pull him now.
Right. Well, I guess you could. I mean, I feel like this happened with another situation somewhat recently, with Geno Smith and Michael Vick.
So what it's worth, ESPN, with my league settings here, they have him projected for 17 points.
I wouldn't be surprised if
I think in a
high.
Two-quarterback league, the way I feel about him, I think in a two-quarterback league, he's like a safe guy to get double-digit points because of his rushing.
I think normally he would be. I mean, just a guy who gets rushing yards, but... But not,
yeah, I'm not telling you to go out and start him in a 12-team league. Like, we're thinking about doing next week.
Which you might have. No, not even. Yeah, in a one-quarterback league in the
12-team one-quarterback league.
In the finals, which we have a very good chance to win. Imagine we end up starting Johnny Manziel in the final. I mean, I hate
You're going to have to like him.
I hate this guy. No, what am I?
If you would.
I'll temporarily like him. I guess anything can happen now that, I mean, Doug Martin is my least. It might be my least favorite player in the NFL now, which I thought would be impossible. I would have said it would have been impossible if he told me that was the case in the beginning of the year. But I guess this week we're in a unique beneficial position where we have him on our bench. We do have Jay Cutler, who has a bad matchup next week, so we at least get to see how Johnny Manziel looks. And then he has a better matchup against, I think, Carolina next week. That's why we picked him up. Is that who is he playing next week?
No, it's not Carolina. It's,
Well, can we look it up?
No, Tampa's playing Carolina next week, aren't they? Remember, because we were looking at Josh McCown? Yeah, I got it.
I don't know. Look it up. See who Johnny Manziel is playing next week. In the
meantime. Well, there's two Saturday games next week. That's actually pretty cool.
Is there? No, I'll go to the. I'll just start up the next game. Houston, Indianapolis, which.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. You're right.
There's Carolina. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, not only that, we get to see how Carolina.
How he gets a better defense.
Well, just how he looks in general. Yeah. They're also against the defense. And we have a ton of options next week. So we get to watch all of them and all the defenses they're potentially good, or they are going to play against in the fantasy playoffs, which is unbelievable to me. I mean, we just talked about streaming at people who are streaming tight ends, and you made it to the semifinals of your fantasy league, and now all of a sudden we're going to be streaming. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Who's Jay Cutler playing next week? The Lions.
Yeah,
so we're not playing Jay Cutler in the finals if we make it. We're streaming a quarterback for the fantasy finals in a one quarterback league. Which is pretty.
Yeah, and we picked up Manziel because we thought at the time.
I'm just saying, just.
Which I guess we made the right call, right?
Well, no, the reason we made that call is because nobody else when I'm free and she's going to get picked up in a one quarterback league, especially now when there's
the only person. The only other person I can see is if RG3 comes back and starts and plays well this week.
But we'll talk about that later too. Colt McCoy is all but guaranteed to start. Anyway,
I thought it was.
I don't know. That team is just, they really are extremely laughable. But anyway.
Ooh, Kansas, Alex Smith, we could do it too. All right,
Houston, Indianapolis, Foster's going to play. They said Andre Johnson is going to be a game time decision. Follow up on that. DeAndre Hopkins. I like Fitzpatrick this week just because of the matchup here. You could throw in Indianapolis and, you know, same scenario as Green Bay, where they've been going up early.
The only reason I don't love it is because you can also run on Indianapolis, and I think Houston wants to run and make this game short.
Yeah, they do. They try to, but if you go behind, you really don't have many other options. So Dante Moncrief is one of those guys you have to own. Just Reggie Wayne, I guess I just don't get how he can come back this early, like with these reports, and he's already practicing, and good for him. I mean, he's come back from a few injuries now, so it doesn't totally surprise me, but I mean, just Moncrief needs to be owned just in case they want to. Like, even if I don't get, like, you don't. Houston at home, I mean, they're supposed to win this game. You know you're going to make. They're pretty much going to make the playoffs at this point. Just rest Reggie Wayne. You know, just, like, rest them for the playoffs. I don't know what they're doing. Whatever. It is what it is. Dan Heron continues to impress over in Indianapolis. Definitely the better play over Trent Richardson. I mean, he looks like he could be the feature guy if Richardson weren't taking carries away from him, which is whatever. I mean, it's not even worth talking about anymore because Richardson's inevitably going to get his touches. So, anything else to talk about with these two teams? I guess that's it.
No, I don't think so.
Oakland, Kansas City, pretty weak, huh? I mean, the Kansas City, they haven't been great against the run. Latavius Murray got the majority of the touches, so it just solidified his role as a starting running back in Oakland.
Devil is so bad.
I don't know. So, yeah. Latavius Murray, I think he's a low-end running back, too, but do you still have ESPN rankings up? Can you look up where
I don't, but just give me, like, 1 second.
Yeah, look that up. Other than that, Kansas City, Kelce, and obviously Jamal Charles are the only people you're playing, so.
I think last time was kind of like a fluke.
So for
I don't
Kelce?
Love Murray. Yeah, I don't love Murray this week.
Oh, for Murray? Wow, he's gonna get the touches though.
They have him ranked at 18, but
where do they have Marv Miller and Jeremy Hill? Sure.
Jeremy Hill is 17. Marv Miller is 24.
Hello?
He's only been getting like 10 to 15 touches a game.
Wow.
They've Drake Bell 11.
And we're talking about. We're going to talk about that game next, Miami New England. Who'd you rather start? What do they have? I guess you're looking at it anyway. Would you rather start Murray or – I was going to say LeGarrette Blount, but Jesus Christ. I'd rather – Murray or Lamar Miller.
Wait, hold on a second. I mean, for what it's worth, they have
19.
So I believe Lamar Miller is 24. Not that it matters. These guys are losers. I mean, they not even break the future, but they.
Well, tell you the truth, Miami started off great against the run, and now they're terrible.
Against them?
Hiring like 16, I guess, because Tennessee's at that.
Yeah, but Chris Johnson's been getting touches from him. Either way, anyway, Miami, New England. There's not much to say here except. We pretty much just talked about it. The running back situations are the blurriest. I mean, Julian Edelman and Brandon LaFell have both been actually really, really good.
I don't personally like LaFell this week. And that's...
Yeah, I'm more worried about Miami secondary than I am about the running game. Maybe it's that they also think New England's going to be ahead. But the spread insists that it's going to be a fairly close game. So not that
it's in
New England, yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe Lamar Miller's just not going to get as many touches, and he hasn't been as involved in the passing game as they would have liked. So, I still think I'm starting Lamar Miller over for Latavius Murray, but whatever. We'll look into that further.
I would. I know Murray had 2 touchdowns last time they played, but it's like, one was a 90-yard touchdown, and it was on 4 carries. How much can you really take away from that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he still looked pretty. He still looked fairly decent last week too. I mean,
he did. I'm not saying that. I'm just like, if I've gotten this far, chances are I'm starting Lamar. You know what I mean?
I'm pulling up his exact 23 rushes, only 76 yards, but I love getting the 23 touches plus the 2 receptions as well. I mean, it's pretty solid numbers.
It is.
I would take that this week, and that was against San Fran. It's a pretty solid matchup too. So, whatever. I have a decision to make on Sunday afternoon. Let's go to the next game. Giants, Redskins. All right. Like I said, it looks like Colt McCoy is going to be the starter there. DeSean Jackson going to be a game time decision. Not much else. I mean, Jordan Reed falls into it. As a top ten tight end here.
Just remember last time they played, Eli absolutely destroyed them.
The interesting thing here. They talked about it on the ESPN podcast today. Where does Odell Beckham rank next year? Like what tier of wide receivers would you put in? There was one guy.
Second.
I mean, it depends who else you're putting in those categories, of course. But
well, you know what? To tell you the truth, he might be in the first because for the longest time I had Calvin in my first tier by himself, and I don't think that's the case anymore.
I don't think so either. But
if I had to guess right now, I would have my first tier right now be Calvin, Antonio Brown, Demarius, Jordy, and then Beckham in the next tier with like Julio Jones, Dez Bryant.
I think you're missing. You missed someone. There was. I heard it today too.
Do you know you're trying to tell me to get
it? No, but I think there was 5. How many did you name? 4?
Yeah, did they have Dez in the first tier?
Dez wasn't even in the first tier. There were so many wide receivers.
Wide receiver is going to be so deep next year with all these rookies.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, they had.
Was Mike Evans in the first tier?
It was pretty. Calvin, Antonio Brown, Jordy Nelson.
Julio?
Demarius. We're not even mentioning AJ Green, and I can't draft Odell Beckham above AJ Green. That's coming.
I think you're gonna have to mention. Well, first of all, you don't know what's going to happen with. I think the top 4 are pretty obvious. I think it's Demarius, Calvin, Brown, and Nelson. Especially with Randall Cobb being a free agent.
I still feel like we're missing someone.
And then my next, maybe you're just thinking of AJ Green.
No, it's definitely not AJ Green. I don't know. It might have been Julio. No, you
and then, like, my next tier will be,
Dez
in no particular order, AJ, Dez, Julio, Beckham, Mike Evans.
I don't even know if I put Mike Evans up there yet. I mean, I guess he's got to be close, but...
I mean, and then think about it. Your third tier is going to be like both air guys, Emmanuel Sanders.
Not even. They said that's the same. Like, I can't even put Brandon Marshall there with how bad he's been this season. You can't justify that pick.
But we're not even mentioning Josh Gordon. You know what I mean?
Right. Josh Gordon, Sammy Watkins, Kelvin Benjamin, even Golden Tate, who's put up those types of numbers this season. There's really stuff. I mean, Julian Edelman.
You said Kevin Benjamin, right? Randall Cobb, Macklin, Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh, I forgot about Macklin. Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many guys. Yeah.
I said T.Y., but like.
Oh, we didn't say T.Y. Edelman.
I said him before.
I mean,
who knows what Jordan Matthews is going to be next year? Like, you're talking about, like, I know technically there can't be, like, 17 number one wide receivers, but you're talking about, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable.
Well, I'm so going wide receiver next year.
But then it's also, I mean, you talk about how deep it is. And you can get, you know, you can wait a little bit and get a potential number one wide receiver.
Yeah, you know how I've been bragging about getting Josh Gordon in the eighth round next year.
It's not even cool.
Yeah, it's like it's so downgraded now.
It's really not. It may not be that cool. I still think we're also missing. Yeah, these rookie wide receivers have been unbelievable.
We saw it happen with the running backs this year. You know, we had all those guys that were coming in. And remember how me and you were saying how running back was a lot deeper this year than it was last year? You know, you had the influx of Le'Veon Bell, or at least we thought Le'Veon Bell, Andre Ellington.
Monty Ball, the second year running back.
Right.
Monty Ball and who else? Eddie Lacy.
Eddie Lacy. We're missing a big, oh, Jesus.
Gio Bernard.
Yes, thank you.
But the downgrade of running backs and obviously with how many have struggled this year, I just think you say you're going wide receiver. Obviously, we'll talk about this later on in the season, but the reason I wouldn't go wide receiver, I think that puts such a more of a premium on running backs like Le'Veon Bell and that forte.
Yeah, because I think if you get like, if you can, not even wide receiver, but like if you can get like I really think that you can get like a number one wide receiver. Say you're picking late in the draft, and you go wide receiver quarterback, and then come back and go wide receiver. You can have like a number one, two number twos, an elite quarterback, and then you just get running backs like. You can get somebody like Joyce Bell in the fifth round.
Yeah, who sucks. You can also.
My team was fine, and I had Joyce Bell as basically my number one running back. All. Not to mention that you know, running backs are coming, are gonna, you know.
Right.
I'm looking at the running back rankings right now. Okay. Did you say that Michael Murray was the first round running back
this year? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I didn't.
You think on average he got drafted in the first round?
Yeah, late first round. But yes, I didn't agree with it. But all
right, but Le'Veon Bell was not correct.
I thought he was, but yeah, no, he fell because of the
he was the first round of any league.
He was close. Yeah, because he fell right because of that DUI thing.
Yeah, but he wasn't in the first round anyway.
He was. Yeah, probably not. Right outside, but. He's definitely close enough. Anyway, go ahead and make your point.
And you would say Arian Foster was, right? Definitely. So in
no.
the top, as of week 15, right? As of week 15, one, counting Foster, two, three, four, five. In the top five guys, I'm sorry, in the top 10 guys, five guys are first round picks.
For running backs?
Yes.
Yeah, we could look at that. We look at percentages. That's because so many running backs are taking the first round. Like how many weren't first round or top five guys, or top 10 guys. What?
Right, exactly.
Adrian Peterson, Monty Ball, Eddie Lacy. That's why
I'm not thinking of running back early.
But it's also, you can look at it both ways. There's also a higher percentage that they fail. I mean, you can only.
There is a higher percentage that you fail. You have no idea which ones are going to fail. That's my point.
But you can also.
Do you think Adrian Peterson? If I told you Adrian Peterson wasn't going to get hurt this year, and you, Stroh, would you have said that he wasn't going to be a top 10 running back? No way.
Right, but you can't. You can't. That's completely extenuating situation. It's You could say the same thing about we didn't draft wide receivers in the first round. You could say the same thing about Calvin, though. Calvin busted. Jimmy Graham was a first-round pick in a few leagues. He busted.
Yeah, they're much less likely to.
How do you figure? I mean, if you those
and
are the only two.
I got to tell you, next year, I'm probably not touching Calvin or Jordy either. Because there's so many good wide receivers, why would I take an injured girl? Right now, Calvin would probably be my number three wide receiver heading into next year.
I wouldn't be surprised. I still think he's the highest rated guy. I mean,
I'd still rather have Demaryius and Antonio Brown going into next year just because the key to fantasy is hitting in your first two draft picks.
I see where you're calling it. And if that's the case, I mean, so you're saying you're going to take these first-round wide receivers. I think they are safe, but, I mean, Calvin was as safe as it comes when it comes to wide receivers this year. That's why he was taking the first round.
I think he gets hurt enough to the point where you can say he's semi-injury thing, and he's not getting up. He's not old yet, though. But
the past few years, even with injuries and everything else, he's still consistently, I mean, no doubter, top three wide receiver. It's just because of the injuries.
Yeah, I'm saying yes. But I think in a PPR league, Antonio Brown's a no-doubter top three wide receiver, too.
I think you still have to go running back just because, I mean, it depends where you're picking. But obviously,
I'm not thinking wide receiver number one overall. But
I don't know. I mean, this year, everyone was against it. But if you took Peyton Manning number one overall, you would have been extremely happy with that. So, anyway, we're way off track, and it gives us way less time to talk about, boring games like Tampa, Carolina. Cam Newton not going to play because of car accident. Derek Anderson starts. D'Angelo Williams also looking like he might make a comeback here, which takes away another opportunity for Jonathan Stewart, who had a really good game last week. And not a terrible matchup for Doug Martin either. We talked about Vincent Jackson looked decent last week. Who would you rather start? Vincent Jackson or Kelvin Benjamin here?
Kelvin.
Yeah, I mean, Kelvin's getting – he's still way up there and, as far as goal line targets or red zone targets are concerned. Not much else to talk about. No, like I said, boring game. Baltimore-Jacksonville, another pretty boring game. Now, Torrey Smith is probably – I think he's less than 50% to play this week based on the injury last week. So,
fine to play him anyway with the matchup.
I mean, yeah, he's been good. I mean, he's been scoring touchdowns, so – I mean, he is touchdown dependent, but yeah, with the injury, it's going to be tough to start him. I know people, you gotta assume he's not going to play. And you know, he's definitely not going to play Denard Robinson out for the year. No one he could start from Jacksonville. I don't even know like which wide receiver he would start. I guess Marquise Lee. Like maybe they're going to put the rookies in there more just to see what they have. But not honestly. It's sneaky, like you talked about. What does ESPN have? I'm sure you deleted it. Where does Blake Bortles rank?
I mean, they only rank 25 running quarterbacks. I think
he's not up there.
I would doubt it.
Nice matchup here for him. Baltimore secondary
24.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I would put him a little bit higher, especially over those. What you said, 18 to 21 guys.
You pick Patrick? No, I wouldn't.
Maybe not him. I just
Andy Dalton.
Oh yeah, I would definitely play him over Dalton.
I wonder.
They're just gonna throw the ball a ton. And Baltimore's secondary, the 32nd against the pass. I mean, it's a
probably because a lot of people throw it. You can't. I also think he's gonna have quite a few turnovers.
Well, yeah, but you're gonna get that with him. But still, I don't know. I guess I was gonna say. Between him and Manziel, I guess it's somewhat of a toss-up. I'm a little bit higher on him than those guys, but still.
I mean, I don't really think it's close between him and Manziel. I would say Manziel. Really? You think,
is anyone higher on Bortles? Like, you can see, like, each individual guy's rankings, right?
What?
You could see each individual's ranker. Is anyone higher on Bortles than the others?
Bortles, 23... 15, 24, 19, 23, 15. Now, two guys are actually 23. That's really weird. The two guys that have Bortles at 23 both have
Mandel at 15. And the two guys that have him at Mandel at 19 both have Bortles at 24. So the closest is 24-19.
Oh, so everyone has Bortles that far. All right, whatever.
Yeah, I don't even think it's close.
No, not. I was seeing if anyone had Bortles a little bit higher than 24. I didn't think they would go as high as Mandel, but still. Anyway, I guess that's pretty much it. Jets-Tennessee. Wow, it was three horrible games.
Yeah, what are the 4 o'clock games? I always listen to the 4 o'clock games on because...
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about this.
Jets-Tennessee?
Yeah.
No, you're probably starting Chris Ivory as a flex. That's it.
Yeah, against it. Tennessee is a horrible defense in general. Yeah, I guess that's it. Denver-San Diego. Really wasn't there to talk about here. We sort of said before, Ryan Matthews, probably not going to play this game. So you don't feel great about Donald Brown, especially because Brandon Oliver is going to take some work away from him, especially in passing situations. So it would have been a nice matchup for Ryan Matthews. Ryan Matthews, for agent at the end of the year, I think his tenure in San Diego is probably over.
There's like I know he wasn't like great. But don't you think wasn't it Brandon Oliver kind of got like a real deal?
I think he's better than Donald Brown, if that's what you're asking. And that's
I think he could be a case better than Ryan Matthews this year, better than Ryan Matthews.
I'd still take Ryan Matthews over him, but
yeah, like I think he's more talented, but I'm just saying, like, I don't like the guy doesn't even touch the ball anymore, you know what I mean?
Well, I think that's if Ryan Matthews doesn't play, Ryan Matthews hasn't even gotten that many touches. I think it's just the kind of the game flow that they've been involved with. So he'll definitely get more opportunities if Ryan Matthews is out and Donald Brown's still going to be a starter. But yeah, I think he'll have a little bit of a chance. I don't know. Maybe he's just I'd be lying if I said I was able to watch a lot of their games this year.
No, I just felt like he was actually a pretty productive. I'm talking about him, but,
No, he was. I mean, whatever. I guess any running back that's been in this offense, like Danny Woodhead and whoever else, I mean, they've always had a pretty productive offense. I guess it's kind of what happens when you have a top-tier quarterback. So, yeah, I guess he's also limited. He's just like, you know, people, he's kind of overplayed this year, but he's a little like Darren Sproles, where he's just not a consistent running back, so he's hard to trust on a week-to-week basis. This at least is a little bit better for fantasy matchup than the other ones we talked about, but there's really, really not much to it. Keenan Allen, I guess it's worth mentioning, he's probably talked, especially... I mean, he might have a tough matchup here with Tui, but definitely a wide receiver 2-3 and someone you could absolutely trust more now going into the fantasy playoffs. Minnesota-Detroit. So Charles Johnson, he's taken over as the number one wide receiver in Minnesota, and he's actually getting a ton of targets. He's done a lot with it. Look what we talked about him last week, and not just us, I mean everybody, another 8 targets last week, only 4 catches, but 103 yards and a touchdown. So,
bad beast.
And this is with a struggling Teddy Bridgewater, a quarterback. So definitely someone to keep an eye on.
Where the hell did this guy go to school?
Charles Johnson?
Never heard of him.
Neither have I. I remember when he had a good game, he told me about him. I still haven't heard of him. Grand Valley State. Look at him. He looks like he's got the Odell Beckham hair.
Does he?
Yeah. See it?
That's right.
From over here, 25 years old, drafted last year, 7th round pick by the Packers. That means still in the Packers offense? God, they let this guy go.
Oh.
And good for him, bud. Jared McKinnon out for the year. Did someone drop McKinnon in your league?
Yeah. Who? Job?
I don't even know.
Really?
He's out for the year, but definitely keep
the league.
Yeah, definitely keeper potential. I guess, for Detroit, like you said, it's a nice matchup for Troy Bell. Golden Tate, Calvin Johnson are starting. Joseph Fourier out for the year, which obviously doesn't matter, but it would give Eric Ebron more opportunity at the tight end position. if you are desperate, he's in that Jared Cook range. Other than that, I guess that's pretty much it. Who else we got here? San Francisco, Seattle.
Not much to talk about.
No. You really don't like starting anyone on San Fran except for maybe Frank Gore, who said Kaepernick is just unstartable.
I don't think I'd start Gore.
Same with any of the wide receivers. I mean, we thought
in Seattle, right?
So our friend in your league, the kid who has Anquan Boldin, he's picking up a free agent wide receiver just to start over Anquan Boldin this week. Yeah, in Seattle. You can't trust anyone in that matchup. Seattle's defense is playing unbelievable. Obviously, you love playing their defense, and then you go with Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch. Pretty standard. Now, this is another exciting Sunday night game, just like on Thanksgiving. Dallas, Philadelphia. All right, so I guess we never mentioned it. Maybe I still think it's Andrew Luck, but who do you think DeMarco Murray is definitely a fantasy MVP candidate.
I think DeMarco, what about Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, him too. I mean, DeMarco.
I'd always rather have the running back as the quote-unquote MVP just because I think there's five top quarterbacks that go all basically to the same. Like, my point was, like, take the, what, all right, who, let's get this up right now. In my league, who's the highest scoring quarterback, you think? Rodgers? Or Luck?
Probably Luck. I guess Peyton's got to be up there, too. So that's the thing. I mean,
Luck. It's Luck, okay?
And he was drafted 3-4 rounds later.
Right, but my thing is, okay, like, maybe Luck the highest scoring person, right? Quarterback. Tom Brady is the sixth highest scoring, okay? You get, like, a running back. Le'Veon is the high. Well, Le'Veon outscored DeMarco by 25 points.
Yeah, well, he's been on tear lately.
So Andrew Luck and Tom. Andrew Luck's outscored the sixth quarterback by 100 points, and Le'Veon's outscored the sixth running back by 100 points. And, like, I just think it's so much more valuable to have that outscoring that running back.
Yeah, but here's the thing, who's the sixth running back that Le'Veon's outscored?
Jamal Charles.
Exactly. Jamal Charles was taken ahead of him, but not too far, like a round ahead. Andrew Luck was taken rounds behind these other guys.
No, like Andrew Luck probably went in the fourth round of my league.
Which is still, it's still a pretty significant difference.
Well, Le'Veon was actually a keeper. So, in my league, he's definitely the MVP.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't pay
attention. I can't believe this guy, the same kid, has Le'Veon and DeMarco Murray. Could you get any luckier with that shit? It's true.
Anyway, so who are we on here? All right, well, Dallas, Philly, like I said, Texcon, by the way. See if you want
to. Yeah,
okay. Well, it's the second to last game. Yeah, we got plenty of time. So, I guess in the same situation, not much else to talk about. Just like, I mean, Jordan Matthews, interesting play here, and he's actually become pretty solid, so yeah, he's definitely in the wide receiver 3 discussion. Another good matchup here against Dallas. They struggled last week against Seattle, as we just mentioned. Seattle defense been playing much better, so I think they go back to the high-paced offense that they've been in all season long. LeSean McCoy goes back to normal. Jeremy Maclin, he's interesting. We did talk about him in a wide receiver talk for next year. I guess how could you not put him as top 10? I guess because of the injury history.
Well, he's also a free agent.
Yeah, I guess it depends where he goes, but
I'm calling it 5.
Oh, we got a bullshit for 5 minutes? All right, I guess. We do have New Orleans, Chicago also. That's a pretty cool game too. All right, so Brandon Marshall out for the year. Want to do a running back rankings for next year? Kind of like we just talked about wide receiver.
Okay.
You said it, the point this year. I think, well, whatever. I didn't want to talk about the first. Who would you take first overall if you had first overall? I mean, DeMarco, it's DeMarco, Le'Veon, and Forte.
Yeah, I would probably go Le'Veon.
Well, DeMarco's a free agent, so we don't know what's happening with that. But like, if I had to pick right now, I'd probably pick Le'Veon.
Wherever you go, wherever DeMarco goes, he's going to be the feature guy.
Yeah, but he's not going to run behind that offensive line.
No, but I mean, not that I know, but I also can't see Jerry Jones letting him go. But
like, if we're talking about PTR, which I know we always do, think about it like this. DeMarco Murray has 400 more yards and 4 more rushing touchdowns, and Le'Veon's still outscoring him. That's how good he is in PPR.
Yeah, I mean, the two of them, you kind of have to worry because they have so many touches this year. They're both still fairly young, even for a running back. But
I mean, Le'Veon's got 300 touches with 3 games last year. I guess it's good. Yeah, that's a lot.
300 touches or rushes?
He's got 300 touches right now.
All right, I'm...
More than that, 310.
All right, whatever. I mean, we'll figure this out at a later date.
DeMarco's at 373 already.
Jesus. Yeah, we'll figure it out at a later date, but I think it's easy to say that these... No, then again, then Charles, too. I mean, would you take Charles?
I think... I know he's just having a down year, but LeSean McCoy has got to be in the conversation. Like, maybe not one overall, but, like, he's definitely at the back end next year, right?
Not to see the same thing happening at... Remember McCoy?
And what's Peterson? What's going to happen with Peterson?
We don't even know if he's going to be back with the Vikings, so...
Yeah, well, he was a free agent anyway.
Yeah, his situation's much weirder. I still think he'll...
Let me ask you a question. Why does DeMarco Murray leaves and Adrian Peterson signs with the Cowboys behind that offensive line? You're not taking him first overall?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, you know?
If he's the only guy there, yeah. I mean, I totally...
Yeah.
I would absolutely trust him as... to be in shape and healthy.
I mean, just...
It might make him better. I mean, he hasn't played... He's got a whole year off. I mean,
He just... If he plays behind that offensive line, he just has so much more potential than anyone else playing.
He really does. And
like, I literally think he would be a favorite to actually rush for 2,000 yards.
I guess so. I mean, like you said, it's also... He wouldn't dominate PPR leagues, which is a knock on him this year. Like he potentially could, but
he could catch 50 balls though. Like it's not like he's not going to catch them all. Don't forget, Peterson's never played with a quarterback.
We'll see what happens. I mean, if we were drafting, which actually would be kind of cool if we were drafting for next year, like today.
I've always wanted to do like a fantasy league that you draft in like April.
Yeah, it'd be
like do like a dynasty league, and you draft them right after the NFL draft. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'd be interesting. No, so just based on that, I mean, I think so you couldn't draft Adrian Pearce, and probably someone would. I'm sure he'd probably still be a first round pick, but yeah, I think those four guys would be up top. And then,
all right, let me ask you a question. What guy that wasn't, let's say, a top 10 guy this year, would you think it's going to be a top 10 guy next year?
I mean, you didn't finish as a top 10 guy this year?
Either one. I mean,
I'm sure I'm going to...
Like, who do you think is going to be the first guy drafted next year that wasn't looked at as a high draft pick this year? Lamar Miller? You know what I mean?
No, not Lamar Miller, just because...
Like, I'm not even counting... Andre Ellington was a pretty high draft pick. I'm not even counting him. Jeremy Hill?
That's what I was going to say. Jeremy Hill. Jeremy Hill... Got to be up there, depending on. I don't even.
Mark Ingram?
No, he's done. That guy is just because of the same.
Okay.
He's a free agent. He's not going to get signed as a feature guy. I think he'll be worse next year than he was this year. He
possibly becomes back healthy with Todd Jennings.
No, too old. And
he's too old. Doesn't mean anything.
I don't think he'd be a first round pick anyway.
I didn't think of
right. Well, top 10 guys who would finish as top 10 guy. I like Jeremy Hill.
Top 10 running back, which means.
Right. Well, I like. That got to be. Definitely have to be missing someone. I mean, who?
I'm looking at it right now. Trey Mason, no, right?
No.
Here's where I can see it. If he's good with Manziel,
and they name him the unquestioned starter, I could see Isaiah Crowell being like a top
15
guy.
Yeah, I don't think he'd ever be.
Well, so much is going to change. How about this? When does C.J. Anderson get named the starter next year? Before fantasy drafts.
I don't think that's going to happen either. I think they're going to have all these guys.
Invested in Monty Ball. Yeah, that would be so nice for me. I would have in my league.
Yeah, not only it's the same. I mean, I said the same about.
There's
running.
Really not many good rookie running backs this year, right? Oh, I got one. Is Frank Gore free agent?
I don't know what his deal is, but yeah, maybe Hyde.
If you're thinking that Carlos Hyde's going to get 70% of the carries on the Niners,
he doesn't even look that good though, and he's still. Yeah, I see. It's a good point.
With what you know right now, if Frank Gore is not back with the 49ers, who would you like better right now, Carlos Hyde or Jeremy Hill?
If he was a starter, then, yeah, probably Carlos Hyde.
Because Bernard is going to be there next year in one capacity or another.
Right. Yeah, there's no other rookie running back we're leaving out here.
Oh, your boy.
Who?
Bishop Sankey.
No, just that.
Well, I mean, I like Crowell. I do.
I still play. We're missing someone. Yeah, I like Crowell too. I just don't. I mean, this situation is not going to get any clearer.
McKinnon.
Even McKinnon.
If he doesn't lose,
I said I think Peterson's going to end up leaving.
I
McKinnon
will
be
good as gone.
McKinnon will be nice. He'll probably be a third, fourth round pick next year, which is fairly solid. I don't think he's going to finish a top 10 running back. I guess that's it. I mean, it's not nearly as...
Paul Sims, Clay Mason. I'm just looking at Terrence West, but no.
No.
McKinnon, Jay Archer. Devontae Freeman.
You got his... It's Steven Jackson's a year older, but they haven't even used him this year.
Yeah, Andre Williams, no. Oh, the other guy you love.
That I love?
Yeah. James White. The popular eight-round draft pick from the Philadelphia.
Yeah, obviously this guy. I mean, if he hasn't been able to make it in this offense, with what's been going on with their running back situation and everything else, I mean, even with Jonas Gray getting the look there, I don't understand how anyone could have said that this guy. I mean, who's the beat writer who said this guy could be the as we could in camp. There's nothing I can base my preseason projections on besides what people tell me is going on in camp. So whatever. Like obviously I didn't really watch James White in college. So whatever. You make it to the NFL, you're obviously pretty good, especially being drafted by Belichick. And then whatever. I mean, it's not even worth talking about. It was a horrible draft pick. But then again, like what the hell else am I supposed to do? Whatever. You're at that point in the draft,
you know what the worst part was?
I probably
you reached for James White because I don't think anyone else is going to take him at that point. But not only did you reach for him, you're also so like running back heavy at that point. In the draft.
And I thought I was going to end up using this guy. I mean, I was obviously not with that case, but
I want to go back.
Like
to...
my Bishop Sankey call. Like, I was right. I was right in, Sean Green's a starter, and everyone made fun of me when I took Bishop Sankey. I'm like, okay, give it, I thought it was going to be 4 to 5 weeks, whatever. Ended up being, what, 5 to 6 weeks, and Bishop Sankey was a starter. How am I supposed to know, the same way, how am I supposed to know that Adrian Peterson was going to beat his son? I mean, there's only so much fact you can go on it, and he ended up being the starter, and he got the majority of the carries, and there's only... I mean, he still has a chance to be okay.
Guys that were taken around when James White was drafted in our league. Kelvin Benjamin, Jordan Reed.
Well, I was going to take Kelvin Benjamin there. And Job.
Yeah, he got taken 2 picks before you.
At the board, Job stolen from me. And,
yeah.
he knows it.
Jeremy Hill, Cecil Shorts, Mike Evans, Fred Jackson, Greg Olson, Terrence West.
Yeah,
Kerry Robinson got drafted in that league.
Well, because Kerry, he was supposed to be a starter at the beginning of the year.
Was he?
I guess technically.
I don't think Kyle's going to, even if he calls, he's not going to get his picks in.
you know, what did he say, 5 minutes? Anyway, yeah, it was terrible. I mean, what do you say? But like, you gotta, at that point, whatever, it seemed to make sense at the time. I've since learned my lesson way too late. I guess there isn't much in terms of rookie running backs. I'm trying to think of what do you make of Justin Forsett next year?
No.
Not as a top 10, but what is he going to be? I think they might have signed him to a 1-year deal. I mean, they obviously, when they signed Justin Forsett,
they need to get someone young in there to push Justin Forsett.
He definitely, I still think he'll be a starter somewhere. I don't know the exact contract situation, but I mean, this is an older guy who, 29 or whatever he is, but he's never been a featured back.
All right, let's get really into it. Let's get really into it, because I don't think Justin Forsett is going to be anything next year. What if Todd Gurley goes to a place that he's going to be the featured guy? Is he a top 10 guy off the bat?
Or what's his name? Melvin Gordon?
Melvin Gordon? Yeah, all right.
So
because, you know, obviously, listen, running backs don't get drafted high anymore, right? Say Marshawn Lynch leaves Seattle and one of them gets drafted there. Are they top 10 back as a rookie?
In Seattle, yeah, because
I think one of them is going to be available for Seattle. It's a matter of if they want to take him or not.
It's just more so because, and that's the reason I like Bishop Sankey, is because it's rare that you get a guy who's just a feature guy anymore, and that's one of the main reasons why there aren't any clear-cut first-round guys or first-round running backs or top 10 running backs in general. So, yeah, if someone gets drafted and you know they're going to be the unquestioned starter and get the majority of the touches, which we obviously won't know until the season starts, but, yeah, Gurley's definitely capable of doing that. So, absolutely, if he gets drafted to the right situation, sure. I'm trying to think. I mean, didn't they... Like I said, you can't trust anything these people say, but the Seahawks are real high on Christian Michael. I think it's almost a guarantee that Marshawn Lynch isn't back in Seattle next year, so that situation is going to be interesting regardless, whether they draft someone or stick with who they have. So, like in your league, I picked up Christian Michael, so it's definitely possible that they end up using him in that exact role that you talk about. But, yeah, I guess... It's way too early to talk about these rookie running backs. Of course, it's definitely gonna matter, and it's definitely gonna impact fantasy leagues next year and very potentially the first round. I'm just trying to think of interesting guys this year, such as You got a minute and a half left. I don't know if you have anyone else who's fairly interesting for the running back position. I mean, what about Sankey? I don't like it either, but he'll probably be drafted in the same position he was this year, just because he was drafted on upside alone, and we know he's going to be the starter there, so he's still going to. Offense can't be as bad as it was this season. They really can't. I mean, you got to think they're going to make some improvements. Not only that, I mean, they put a lot of money and effort into their offensive line, just didn't pan out.
They're going to get some kind of quarterback in there, right?
I only have 37 seconds left to defend Bishop Sankey, and I can use all 37 seconds in order to do it. Keepable? No. Definitely not. I mean, I feel like we're missing a ton of guys. I mean,
no, we're not. There's just not many running backs.
Guys who are just, they don't have to be good ones, but anyway, we're running out of time, so best of luck in the fantasy playoffs. We'll be back next week to finish up the keeper discussions. The way we take it to the house.